We had a texter ask our thoughts on Cam Whitmore being traded. Let's first hear Raphael Stone's thoughts on trading Cam Whitmore to the Washington Wizards for 2 second-round picks.
I just think, yeah, we're just not a developmental team right now. It's really like we wanted to provide Cam with the opportunity to do in his career what we still believe he very much can do. So I think Cam's insanely talented, really nice young man, and wanted to provide him an opportunity to go home and be in a situation where he could really play through mistakes in a way that we never could afford him just in the iteration of the Rockets that he joined.
Yeah, Raphael Stone went on to say, we're not a developmental team anymore. You know, Cam still has some developing to do, probably some of it maturity-wise.
Yeah, and I mean, just from the reports from Kelly Eco and others, it's that, you know, Udoka tried to explain to him the concept of, you know, being a teammate and all of that stuff, and it wasn't the right fit. Yeah. And, you know, Cam, I could totally see with Cam Whitmore, you know, sometimes, you know, like whether you want to call it a diva attitude or what have you, it's a problem until all of a sudden you're in a position to be a diva.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's no big deal. I remember somebody telling a story about Madonna back early in her musical career where somebody was like, she's never going to make it with that attitude. Very, very bossy, this, that, the other thing. And then you're like, okay, she didn't change her attitude at all.
No.
She just got to a point where the bossiness was, people listened to her when
yeah,
she was bossy.
Yeah.
Athletes can be the same way, and I don't know. Maybe it could be as much as him maturing some because he's still very, very young, mm-hmm. and then being in an environment where he can't actually play and get feedback and all of that other stuff. So it doesn't have to be acrimonious, but it clearly wasn't a fit from a culture standpoint right now with
Udoka. No. And he talked about him getting sent home. He's from Maryland. That's not all it's cracked up to be, by the way, sometimes.
That's a pain in the butt.
Yeah. That's an interesting dynamic. Is Cam Whitmore somebody who, being back in Maryland, all I know is he went to Villanova. Like, I know nothing about his background or his upbringing or his family. Does he have a big family, a small family? Does he get along? I have no idea. I just know that a lot of times as a professional athlete, you hear stories about you got so many people coming after you when you're home.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you live in Maryland,
sometimes,
it's easier to go play in Sacramento instead of Maryland.
Well, but then on the flip side, you've got guys like, sometimes it works out.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron Hernandez ended up being a very productive player when he went back close to his home of Bristol, Connecticut. And, you know, he was really, really good for the Patriots.
He was.
You know, you might have thought like, hey, this guy got into a little trouble in college. Sure, various potential eyewitnesses bailed out of investigations and everything, but he went back home and was a very productive tight end for the Patriots.
When he was on the football field, he was a good football player.
That's a good Twitter poll. Was Aaron Hernandez was the drafting of Aaron Hernandez a success, given his career stats?
He was a good player when he was out there.
He was really good.
Yeah.
That combo. He only played three. I didn't really, honestly.
No, three seasons. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if you had told me, I would have put the over-under on it at five. It felt like he was there longer than 3 years.
He and Gronk were in the same
draft.
Okay,
that was a fail then. I'd say based on nothing but his football career.
He got a second contract, though. Remember that? Like after remember all that money that he, like.
He got that contract going into the season that he never ended up playing?
Correct.
Like the year that he got in trouble?
Yes.
Like that offseason when everything was found out and everything?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, he got it after the 2012 season. He got $40 million.
Boy, if you take everything else out of it, though, Aaron Hernandez, who was what, a third round pick?
Fourth round pick. Should have been a first, was a fourth because of all the, you know.
He got 38 games out of him.
Yeah.
But in his second season in 2011, he had 79 receptions for 910 yards.
Yeah.
For a fourth round pick?
Who's on the same team as Gronk? I mean, he's, you know.
That was a pretty good pick.
Yeah.
I would say I would grade that draft pick a success.
Right.
For what you got out of him. You got 1,956 yards receiving, 18 touchdowns out of him.
Yeah.
Out of a fourth round pick.
It is. You know, the PR aspect of him then going and killing people is something you got to kind of work around a little bit.
Sean, this is a sports show.
It's a sports show. That's true. It's not a murder
mission. You keep
your
social commentary out of it.
I'm sorry. My bad.
All right?
That's on me.
Sean trying to be all Bob Costas on here.
That's on me.
You know, sometimes when I sit back and reflect, I wonder, is it worth harboring mass murderers on my football team for the sake of success?
When Costas
These are the things that nobody wants to talk about.
Costas started doing social commentary at halftime of NFL games. I'm like, I'm just here for the football, man. I'm just here for the football. Can't you be the Bob Costas from 1984? Where'd that guy go?
Society doesn't have it in them to respect that I'm an incredible dweeb.
Yeah, it's insufferable, man. Let's skip to Capella here, Ben. Here's Rafael Stone. Clint Capella's coming back. He was part of the seven-team monstrosity trade that brought Kevin Durant and Clint Capella back here to Houston. Does the signing of Clint Capella show a bigger willingness to lean into the double big lineup?
The Clint Capella signing, does that sort of signal a willingness to go more double big next year?
For sure. We loved that lineup once we discovered it last year. We thought it was really, really effective for us. Also, Clint just adds something we don't have in terms of being kind of a center who can move a little bit easier on the perimeter, also as a lob threat. Finally, we just think depth is super important, and as we're trying to make it through the season, we don't want there to be huge drop-offs. So we did not anticipate going into free agency that we would be able to get Clint, but we're ecstatic when that materialized.
That is true. My feeling on Clint bringing Clint Capella back was, all right, he's roster-wise, he's replacing Jock Landale for less money, actually, than Jock Landale. Now, that's a good point that Rafael Stone brought up at the beginning there. He is different than the other two guys they have down in the low post. With Şengün is a more skilled around the basket offensive player, footwork, you know, like kind of heavy feet. Steven Adams is an older guy who's a big body who attacks the glass. Clint does. I mean, I haven't watched Clint Capella play a basketball game in forever. I've watched zero Atlanta Hawks basketball over the last few years, but I'm assuming that the Rockets have. And that Rafael Stone's description there of Clint Capella, who's a guy who I think is still a young guy. I think he's still like in his late 20s, that he does move better. He is more of a lob threat than those other two. I mean, Şengün's not a lob threat at all.
Yeah.
And then Steven Adams, same thing. Like a lot of pick and roll stuff you can do with Capella. There are some intriguing Capella as the big in their lineups with this particular group of guys.
I think there are a lot of things that you can do where because Durant is on the floor, you minimize a lot of the issues that come with playing two big men. I mean, the spacing issues aren't going to be as severe, and their ability to kind of tinker with that over the course of the season is going to be fun to watch because you know how effective it is, but it's always with anything like that, it's always in limited doses, it's super effective, but then the drawbacks come back to bite you, especially in playoff series. I think they're going to be able to tinker with it with multiple different options of who to play with and then also have Durant on the floor at the same time. And that is a whole lot of length on the floor. But with still, like, it's a lot harder to pack the paint when you've got Durant out there. And if Reed Shepard turns into a sharp shooter in the NBA, that makes it very, very interesting.
I'm excited to watch these Reed Shepard summer league games. See if he goes off for 49 like he did when they sent him down to – send him down to the Vipers.
week of summer league last year was the most exciting summer of basketball I've ever had. Probably how many championships in a row are the Rockets going to win with Reed Shepard playing like this?
He cooked in the summer league last year. That's true.
He did early on, and then teams started to focus in on him.
They did.
They dialed in. They realized that it wasn't just some white boy. It was Cocaine Curry.
It was Cocaine Curry, Cracker McBuckets. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Here is Rafael Stone on trading Jalen Green. How difficult was it to move on from Jalen Green?
Was it a difficult decision to move on from Jalen Green?
Yeah, like Jalen's awesome. He did everything we asked. He's a wonderful combination of talent and work ethic, along with being just a great human being. And any time that you have the privilege to work with someone who is talented and works really hard and is really nice, you should value it. And so for organizationally, we've valued him tremendously. So, yeah, very hard.
Okay, so to sum up this segment, was it difficult to move on from Jalen Green?
Yeah.
Was it difficult to move on from Cam Whitmore?
No.
Okay.
Ben, let's play this with other GMs. Casario, was it hard to move on from Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
You think
that's pretty emotional? Yeah, good. was it?
You know, the funny thing is, Casario would not have said he wouldn't have given the Rafael Devers there. He would have given a diplomatic answer.
I think Rafael Stone has kind of set the high bar for, okay, you know what? usually in a question like that, you do get kind of a cliche monotone answer.
Yeah.
You know, it's always hard when we part with guys that we've spent time with, but we have to make decisions that are best for the team.
Right.
That's what we're keeping in mind.
Right.
He just, right off the bat, Rafael Stone said, it was really hard.
Yeah.
I like that. It's got a little. Does that make Jalen Green feel any better about it or whatever? Probably not. But I feel like that. I think there's been so much polarization. What did I do?
You said, does that make it any more difficult to move on from Jalen Green? And Ben hit.
No.
You could hear it. You were talking. You could hear it. So continue.
I don't remember what it was.
Okay, sorry about that. Do you think Caserio had trouble moving on from any of the guys he's moved on from since he got here? I mean, it's been a lot of house cleaning going on.
I think he's like Spock in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I think that he knows, he understands that there's difficult decisions to be made, and you just got to see where it lands on the spreadsheet. And then, these people live, these people die.
Okay, is that what happened? I'm not a Star Trek guy. Is that what Spock?
Dr. Spock. Well, I know I'm not a Star Trek guy either, but Spock had no emotion.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. See, I didn't even know that. I'm pure Star Wars, man. Ben laughed at it, though. Are you a Star Trek guy, Ben? I could see
a little bit.
Yeah,
I like TNG a little bit better than the original. But
what's TNG?
Next Generation.
Oh, Next Generation.
Patrick Stewart.
Gotcha. My bad.
Sean thought I was talking about Dr. Spock, the baby doctor.
The baby doctor.
He was like, yeah.
Mom had that.
Let him cry it out. Let him cry it out. Gotta learn self reliance.
I remember being so confused as a kid that my mom would pull out the Dr. Spock book when, like, my little brother had a bloody nose or something. I'm like, is this the same guy as on the Star Trek? Like, this is...
No.
No.
She was, you're totally mixing the genres here, Mom.
Yeah, it's
what next you're going to say Nanu Nanu or something. Yeah, like the...
Mork.
To try to cure him.
Mork. Mork for Mork. I knew that one. Shazbot. Yeah.
Mork from Mork. I forgot he was
from
Mork.
Had a good long run. So they made Jonathan.
Hey, remember Jonathan Winters?
Jonathan Winters was
on that show.
Yeah,
he was the baby, right?
He was a son.
He was an old man, but he was a baby because they aged in reverse.
Yeah.
My grandfather spent some time at a VA hospital with Jonathan Winters.
Really?
Because my grandpa was a World War II vet and had all kinds of issues. You know, he'd been a POW and everything, so he was in the VA quite a bit. But Jonathan Winters also had a lot of mental challenges, a lot of emotional problems. So he spent like a good, I'd say, a couple months with Jonathan Winters.
What'd he say about
him? I said he was just an awesome guy, just real soft-spoken and everything. Like, everything that you ever saw from Jonathan Winters, probably, he was like that.
He was the same as he was on screen?
Very unassuming. I remember him saying, I don't remember what... I can't remember exactly how my grandfather described it, but not what you would expect out of Mr. Hollywood. Just a normal guy.
Yeah, see, Jonathan Winters would have hated me. I'd have been like, power rank your top five roles that you were in Hollywood. And he'd be I'm just trying to get well, man. All right?
Yeah.
Just trying to get well. Capella's 31 years old, according to the text page, which is our version of AI on the show. That's the text page. It doesn't always work.
Did you ask? I could have told you that.
When I was talking about Capella and what he can do in the lob game, I said that he's been in the league 10 years. He probably came in as a young guy. He's probably in his late 20s.
That was honestly, I only know it because when they first traded for him, I looked it up and I was reminded he's pretty much the same age as Steven Adams.
Yeah.
Because you think of Steven Adams as the old guy.
Yeah.
But because Clint Capella, we know babyface Clint Capella.
Yep.
Yeah. You forget that, he's a full grown man now.
Clint Capella with a little patch of red hair at the top of his hairdo there, remember he had that little patch right there that he had?
Well, yeah, doesn't he have a natural white spot on it?
I don't know.
He dyed it, but yeah.
I'm not comfortable now. All right. I'm not sure.
Was that a dye or was it, sometimes guys have like weird little shocks of gray hair early in life.
It wasn't gray. It was reddish. And he came back 1 year with it he didn't have it 1 year and then he had it the next year. So I don't know.
He had that little, it almost like a side part. It looked like, you're right. Yeah. That was dyed.
Okay, good. Okay. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you.
I didn't know if it was that or like a Ginobili bald. Ginobili had kind of the Middle Ages monk look going, like a ring
horrible.
Of hair around his
horrible.
Head.
Horrible.
Like a Three Stooges thing.
Yep. All right, final segment coming up. We'll find out what the guys got going on In the Loop. One of the silliest things that I've heard somebody say or read somebody write about the Texans offensive line this offseason. We'll have that for you. Final segment. Get ready for In the Loop coming up next.